Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the Book of Yehoshua. We are learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's Emergency Services, the hostages, and the injured. We are in Perek Tesvav, chapter 15. We just finished looking at the boundaries of Yehuda. We talked about the southern boundary. We talked about the northern boundary. And now we come back to Kalev, because no, we're not done with Kalev. Back in chapter 14, we saw Kalev claim his land first. We talked about why Kalev is first, why Yehuda is first, why Yehoshua starts distributing the land with Yehuda and Yosef. We gave various explanations, which you can hear in the recordings that we did, several recordings back. But now we return to the land of Kalev. Remember that when Kalev made his pitch to receive Hebron, he emphasized his strength and how he had gone as a meragel originally when he was 40 years old, and now he's 85 years old, but he's just as strong now as he was then. So what I want to do is see the psukim first, see the text first, just read it straight, ask a whole bunch of questions about how we are to understand these psukim. And then there are going to be two versions of the story. I think we'll do one version of it today, and then the second version of it probably tomorrow. But let's jump in here. Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Yud Gimel, chapter 15, sentence 13. Ulchalev ben Yefuneh nasan chelek pesoch b'nei Yehuda el pi Hashem li Hoshua. So to Kalev ben Yefuneh, he gave, Yehoshua gave, a portion among Yehuda. At the word of God to Yehoshua, this is what Hashem had instructed Yehoshua to do, meaning it isn't just on Kalev's say-so. Es Kiryas Arba, Avi HaAnak, Hi Chevron. The city of Kiryat Arba, the Arba who was the giant, remember we said Arba was his name, this is the city of Chevron. But we already talked about the idea that Kalev is actually getting just the outskirts of the city, not the city proper, because the city proper is in Ir Miklat, it's a city of refuge. Vayoresh Misham Kalev es shlosha b'nei ha'anak, and Kalev gets rid of the three sons of the giant from there, es Sheshai, es Achiman, ves Talmai, yilidei ha'anak Sheshai, Achiman, and Talmai. We know them from elsewhere in Tanakh as well. So Kalev, very strong, succeeds in getting rid of them. Vayal Misham el Yoshevei Devir. And he went up from there to the residence of Devir, Vashem Devir Lefanim Kiryas Sefer. The previous name of Devir was Kiryat Sefer. That's already something interesting, that we're giving you the old name, and that the old name is Kiryat Sefer. I want to come back to some questions about that. Vayomer Kalev Asher Yakez Kiryat Sefer Ulochadav and Asati Loas Achsaviti Leisha. And Kalev says, whoever can conquer Kiryat Sefer, I'm going to give him my daughter Achsa as a wife. Vayilkado Asniel ben Kenaz achi Kalev, the brother of Kalev, Asniel ben Kenaz, conquers the city. Remember that we said Kalev ben Yefuneh HaKenizi, Kalev is the stepson of Kenaz, so his half-brother is Asniel. Vayitein lo as achsa bito leisha. Asniel, who will be known as the first shofet in Shoftim, he conquers the city, and Kalev gives him his daughter as a wife. Don't be surprised about the uncle or half-uncle marrying his niece. That's a common thing both in Tanakh and in Mishnah and Gemara. It was considered actually an act of chesed, an act of kindness, for somebody to take in his niece and protect her this way. If you were talking about somebody who was having trouble getting married, remember this goes back to the times of polygamy, so they would take them on. That's a whole other discussion, though. That's a little broader than a 10 to 15 minute Tanakh shir. Vayhi bevoa, and it was when she came, she persuaded her husband, Asniel, to ask of her father a field. Now, it sounds like she's persuading him to ask for the field. But then it says she jumped off of the donkey, right? Tzanchanim, paratroopers. She jumps off of the donkey. And Kalev says, what do you want? Vatomer, and she said, Tna li bracha, give me a blessing. Ki eretz hanegev nisatani, you gave me dry land. Venosatali gulos mayim, give me also springs of water, water sources. Vayitein laes gulos ilios, veis gulos tachtios, and he gave her upper and lower water sources. And that's it. That's the story. And then it continues with, and here's the portion of Bnei Yehuda, here are the cities of Yehuda. So we have a lot that we need to understand here. First, Kalev said so much about his strength in chapter 14, and he conquered the giants. We just said he conquered three giants and their families, presumably as well, right here. Why does he need someone's help to conquer Devir? That's number one. Number two, Kalev ben Yefuneh, you are this righteous meragel. How in the world do you promise your daughter to some unknown warrior who's going to conquer a city? Anybody who conquers this city, you get to marry my daughter. What's the business of the request for water that's recorded here? What's that about? And then the name Kiryat Sefer is in and of itself interesting. What causes a town in ancient Canaan to have the name Kiryat Sefer, and why are we recording it here? Rabbi Yisrael Rosen ups the ante on this with an article in the 12th volume of the 12th edition, I should say, of the journal Megadim. Otniel ben Kenaz, Manhig du Ravadi, a two-layered leader, Otniel ben Kenaz. He points out that in Shoftim chapter 1, we read about the conquest of four cities: Yerushalayim, Hebron, Beit El, and this city here of Devir. So Yerushalayim, Hebron, and Beit El are, as he calls them, Arei HaKodesh. These are holy cities, right? You can argue a little bit with Beit El, because sometimes that's a place of idolatry, but it's the place where Abraham builds a Mizbeach when he comes into the land. Hebron, Ma'aras HaMachpelah, Yerushalayim, these are holy cities, and you throw in Devir, so it sounds like Devir itself is in the club of holy cities. Not to mention, the word Devir is a word that we use to refer to the Kodesh Kodashim, the Holy of Holies in the Beis HaMikdash. Not only that, there's a medrash found in the Sifri on Parshas Ekev, it's Lamed Zayin, that talks about the importance of this city. It quotes a pasuk which we haven't seen yet, later in this chapter, Yehoshua 15:49, which is going to say, Dana and Kiryat Sana, which is Devir. So now Devir has three names, right? Devir, Kiryat Sefer, and Kiryat Sana. And the Medrash there asks, why do you need three names? And the Medrash answers that three empires, Shalosh Malchios, fought for this place, and each one said it should be identified by their name. And says the Medrash, to extend this, the Medrash says, you know, if the lowest of Israeli cities... So Devir is apparently the lowest of Israeli cities, has four kingdoms fighting for it, these three others plus the Jews. How much more so the best of Eretz Yisrael? So the that's this fascinating medrash which tells us something's going on with Kiryat Sefer. This is not to be understood as just another city that, you know, Kalev is having some trouble with and needs to summon somebody. So we have a lot of questions. Okay, so first of all, before we start to answer those questions, just parenthetical note, Kalev conquers Hebron here. However, if you were to look ahead to Shoftim chapter 1, sentences 10 to 19, you would find Kalev conquer Hebron after the conquest of Yerushalayim and apparently after Yehoshua's death. So when did he do this? So Rashi says that it really is after Yehoshua dies. It's when it's recorded in Shoftim. The only reason it's recorded here in Sefer Yehoshua is because we're describing the division of the land. So we mention he gets this portion, and here's what's going to happen later on. That's Rashi's explanation. However, Don Isaac Abarbanel, the Malbim, take a different view. They say no. They write this actually back in chapter 10, sentence 37, that the conquest happened here in our chapter, in Yehoshua's lifetime. It is reported again in Shoftim, because in Shoftim chapter 1, they talk about the conquests of Shevet Yehuda, of the tribe of Yehuda, and this is one of those. So therefore, it gets re-recorded there, but it actually happens here. But let's get back to our main questions. How in the world do we understand this story? So two layers. First layer is that it is a physical conquest. Second layer is going to be that it's actually a spiritual conquest. So the first approach is, this is a physical conquest. Yes, Kalev asserted that he was really, really strong. And look, he did. He managed to fight the three Anakim, these three giants. But maybe it just wasn't enough. Abarbanel says, you know, he's older at this point. Rabbi Yisrael Rosen adds a twist. He quotes a medrash found in the Cairo Geniza, published by Professor Louis Ginsberg in his Ginzei Schechter, that Kalev was punished. Remember that Kalev praised himself for his strength, and he said, look, I'm as strong now as I was then. Says the Medrash, that is why he was weakened, because he made the claim about how strong he is. Therefore, he got zapped. It was an ayin hara of sorts, says this Medrash, and that's why he now needs the support. Rav Rosen has a similar comment regarding Shoftim chapter 3, sentence 9, which is going to talk about Osniel ben Kenaz as Achi Kalev HaKatan Mimenu. He is the brother of Kalev. He is smaller than him. He is younger than him, but Osniel comes to exceed Kalev over time. More to say about that. So maybe this is a physical conquest, and Kalev really needs help. Why is it that this city is called Kiryat Sefer and identified as one of the holy cities? That I don't have an answer for within this take. So why is Kalev promising his daughter to a warrior? So we're not actually going to get through all of this today. I can see that. We're going to have to continue tomorrow. But I'm going to make the question even stronger, and then tomorrow we'll have to come back and really deal with it. And you know, maybe between now and then, people can come up with answers of their own and send them to me. But here's a Gemara in Tanis. The Gemara in Tanis says, Tanis Dalet Amud Aleph, Shlosha Shalu Shalo Kahogen. Three people asked for something inappropriately. Lishnayim Heshivuhu Kahogen. Two of them got a proper answer anyway. They survived their inappropriate request. Le'echad Heshivuhu Shalo Kahogen. One of them was answered improperly. Ve'eluhein, and here is your list, Eliezer Eved Avraham, Eliezer the servant of Avraham, meaning at the well when he's supposed to get a wife for Yitzchak, his job is find the girl from the family, but he does this whole thing with Hashem, if she says this and she does this, then that's the right one, so he makes a demand that's really improper to make. Ve'shaul ben Kish, and Shaul, according to the view that, well, let's go back a step. When the Jews are facing Goliath, this mighty Philistine warrior, and he is insulting them and taunting them and so on, word goes around the military camp. This is Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin, chapter 17. Word goes around the military camp that Shaul has promised his daughter to whoever can kill Goliath. So whether that's true or not, the Barbanel believes that it's not true, that it was never a promise that he made. But this Gemara clearly believes that it was a promise he made, and it says that's inappropriate. You promise your daughter to whoever's going to kill Goliath. You know, some Biryon gets up there, some tough guy, and he kills Goliath, and now he's going to be your son-in-law. He's going to marry your daughter. So that's also inappropriate, but turns out to be David HaMelech, so, you know, he gets away with it, just like Eliezer gets away with it. V'yiftach ha-Gil'adi. And then the third is Yiftach of Gil'ad. And that is, of course, the story of him saying before going to war against Ammon, whatever comes out of my house first, I'm going to offer to God, and ends up being his daughter. And you have that very strange story there. So he asked inappropriately and got an inappropriate answer as a result. So my question to you is this. That list of three, why isn't it a list of four? Shouldn't Kalev be on that list? Whoever conquers this city, if it's really a physical conquest, and you're talking about a warrior, he's going to get my daughter? Like, why should that be? So tomorrow, God willing, we're going to come back to this. We'll finish reading this story as a physical conquest, and then we're going to show another layer of reading it, in fact, as a spiritual conquest.